appreciate Cody and Kaylee. They're fixing to have a baby, and their life is a fixing to change drastically. But it'll be a blessing. Amen. I appreciate this young man. I appreciate the heart he has and the touch of God's hand. I love you, brother. Preach to us.
Amen. Luke chapter number 24. I appreciate all that our hearts have heard and been able to take part of thus far. I was thinking as I was pondering and trying to pray on what the Lord have us to say in these opening remarks. Thought about mentioning this message and mentioning that song, and then I would get everything polished up and in order and how I want to say it, and then I would be reminded, well, I better not leave out that one. And I kept doing that until finally I said, well, I guess I ought to just get up and thank God for 2 weeks of camp meeting. The Lord has helped my heart so much already. I love this place, and I love each of you, and I thank you so much, Preacher Steve, Preacher Jamie, for the privilege and opportunity. But Luke chapter 24 is what's on my heart. Brother Jeff started us on Friday, took us all the way to Sunday. And Lord willing, I want to plug right back in where he left off on Sunday. Luke chapter 24, give you a little context before we read. There's some brokenhearted and confused disciples gathered together. They just watched their beloved master be murdered, crucified. They watched as his lifeless corpse was lowered from a cross, carried to a graveyard. It's been 3 days. They've never been more full of doubt. They've never been more confused, and the enemy's lies go rolling through their minds. Have I believed a lie? Is all of this in vain? Amen. They begin to hear rumors about how maybe somebody has stolen the Lord's body. It is missing. And they're just all sorts of in trouble. And they're gathered together in this room and discussing all of these things. Look at verse 36. Luke chapter 24 and verse 36. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified and affrighted, and supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? Why do your thoughts arise in your hearts? Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have. And when he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. For just a few minutes this morning, with the help of the Lord, I want to preach on that statement in verse number 40. When he had thus spoken, he showed them his hands and his feet. By showing us his hands and his feet, I believe there are three invaluable truths that the Lord is telling us this morning. When the Lord showed them his hands and his feet, he was showing them, first of all, that he was a familiar Savior. The Bible tells us that the disciples were terribly afraid at the sight of his presence. They've spent 3 days in an absolute tailspin. He who they thought to be their Lord and Savior was now dead. They watched the Christ of God die on the old rugged cross. And you see, it's easy for you and I to skim over the surface of this story due to our familiarity of it, knowing how it ends. But I'm going to tell you, brother, if you would have been in their shoes, what was taking place would be shocking to your system as well. And there they are gathered together in one accord, and rumors are starting to spread among them that the Lord is not dead. Perhaps his body was stolen, or perhaps he was risen indeed. But either way, they watched him die, and they watched as his body was lowered from the cross, and they watched as he was laid in the tomb, and they watched as that stone sealed the tomb's entrance. And it's Sunday morning, and the body of their Lord is missing, but all of a sudden there he is, standing right before them. All the Bible says that they thought that it was a spirit, and they shook and trembled in fear, and they said, surely this is not happening, surely this is not real, surely this is not really him. And very warmly and very gently, our Lord assures them that it is indeed I. He says, I am alive. I am he that was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. He says, come right here, boys, and take a look at my hands and my feet. The proof of his great resurrection was his wounds. His wounds were infallible proofs that he is the same person. It was to establish his identity. He was the very same Jesus whom they had followed. He was the very same Jesus whom they had deserted. He was the very same Jesus who they beheld afar off, crucified and slain. Thank God, this very same Jesus who they carried to the tomb in the gloom of the evening is the very same Jesus who got up on Sunday morning. Thank God, it's the very same one who is alive forevermore. And there in his wounds is a personal reassurance that this indeed is the Christ, the Son of the living God. There in his wounds was the seal of his sufferings upon him. And my friends, when he showed them his hands and his feet, it was a testimony that this indeed is the very same Christ. He is the very same person. His precious nail-scarred feet, listen, were the same feet belonging to the same Lord that he's always been. It was the same feet that walked him into the Garden of Eden in the cool of the day. It was the very same feet who walked into the fiery furnace that day in Babylon. It was the very same feet who walked down the ivory palaces of heaven and condescended the all-exalted throne and walked down the streets of gold and down the corridors of time and down into the womb of a virgin maiden and down onto the dusty trails of earth. It was the very same feet who walked the shores of Galilee, who graced the wedding of Cana, who traveled with his disciples up to Jerusalem. It was the very same feet who walked into the upper room, who tread the winepress alone, who stood before Pilate. It was the very same feet who were nailed to an old rugged cross. But thank God this morning, it was the very same feet that walked him out of the graveyard come Sunday morning and stood him before his disciples. His precious feet are standing before them, bruised and battered from battle, wounded from the nails that held them fast. And this same Jesus standing in victory says, looky here, boys, looky here at my hands and my feet. And what it means that he is the same that he's always been. He's a familiar Savior. He's the author and finisher of their faith. He's not some distant deity or some strange sovereign, but my friends, he's the same Jesus he's always been, and here he is standing in victory before them. It was his feet. But it was his hands. It was the same hands that hung stars in the sky. It was the same hands that carved rivers with his fingers. It was the same hands that mapped out galaxies. It was the same hands that formed the planets and molded the earth and formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. It was the same hand that Elijah saw that watered a barren world. It was the same hand writing judgment on the walls of the palace of Belshazzar. It was the same hands who took on flesh and dwelt among men. It was the same hands that healed the lepers and opened the blinded eyes and opened the deaf ears. It was the same hands that raised the dead to life. And those precious hands were laid across the splintered wood of the old rugged cross. And they drove spikes through those precious hands. But now those hands are standing before them in victory. Oh, can you hear it? The hammer clinking as those Roman soldiers drive those spikes through those precious hands. But I'm glad this morning that we're not worshiping a dead corpse. He's not still hanging there. But on Sunday morning, he got up. And he walked into that room that day. And he said, "Looky here, boys. Behold my hands and my feet. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones as ye see me have." Not only was he showing them that he was a familiar Savior, but when he showed them his hands and his feet, secondly, he was showing them that he was a forgiving Savior. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Our Lord was showing them that he is indeed the same person, but that is not the only thing that his wounds are testifying to us this morning. The same feet that walked the holy hills of heaven's shore, the same hands that form the worlds and all that are within them, those same hands and feet now bear within them the wounds of atonement. His wounds are a testimony that he is a forgiving Savior. His wounds are a testimony that the wrath of God has been satisfied. You say, "Preacher, what are you talking about? You see, you and I were in trouble with a holy God. Oh, and if we got what we deserved this morning, I'm going to tell you right now, it wouldn't be standing behind a pulpit, and it wouldn't be kicking wood shavings or sitting in pews or eating a fine meal here after a while. Oh, no, sir. But if we got what we deserved, every single one of us would be in hell this morning." You say, "Preacher, how come we didn't get what we deserved?" Because on that Sunday morning, the Lord walked into that room and he said, "Looky here, boys, behold my hands and my feet." And what he was saying is, "I am a forgiving Savior, because you and I have committed high treason. We have committed the most abominable act that could be done. We broke the commandments of a sovereign God, and we wake up every day of our lives defaming his holiness. But rather than being crushed under his wrath, tossed into the fires of hell, what we got is far, far removed from what we deserved. My friends, instead of wrath, we found pardon. Instead of judgment, we found forgiveness. We have been redeemed. We have been justified. the precious hands and feet of our Lord bear within them the marks of the atonement. And because of the old rugged cross, there is forgiveness with the Lord. There is forgiveness with the Lord. Just in case you didn't hear it, there is forgiveness with the Lord. You say, "Preacher, that don't do much for me." Well, evidently you've never been real dirty, and evidently you've never messed up, and evidently you've never been on the bottom, because if you have, oh, what a wonderful sight it is that our Lord's hands and feet hold within them the marks of the atonement. He was abandoned so that I will never be abandoned. He was forsaken so that I will never be forsaken. He was punished so that I will never be punished. God the Father, as Spurgeon said, God the Father treated Jesus like he was me so that I could be treated like I'm Jesus. Oh, as the old song says, his heart was broken and mine was mended. He became sin and now I'm clean. The cross he carried bore my burden. The nails that held him set me free. His scars of suffering brought me healing. He spilled his blood to fill my soul. His crown of thorns made me royalty. His sorrow gave me joy untold. Oh, listen, he was delivered for my offenses. He became the propitiation for my sin. Oh, in those times when the enemy says, "You've gone too far and you might as well give up. God's not going to forgive that one." I just tell him to go back where he came from, because I'm looking at my Savior this morning, and in his hands and his feet are a testimony that there is forgiveness with the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Don't you love that old song? We're about near all quoted. But I don't know if we've ever really, 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 really thought about the words. How deep the Father's love for us. How vast beyond all measure that he should give his only son to make a wretch his treasure. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns his face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Now listen, probably my favorite part right here. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed, I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Don't you like that verse that says, why should I gain from his reward? I cannot give an answer, but aren't you glad we can know some things? But this I know with all my heart, that his wounds have paid my ransom. Hallelujah. You say, "Preacher, I'm not real sure about it." I'll quit looking at you and start looking at him. Behold his hands and his feet. Amen. When Jesus showed them his hands and his feet, he was showing them that he was a familiar Savior. He is a forgiving Savior. But thirdly, he was showing them that he will be a faithful Savior. Ain't that what Paul said? Something like that, didn't he? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? You say, "Preacher, how will I know that God will see me through this valley?" How will I know that God will take care of my needs? How do I know that God will be faithful? It'd be awfully hard not to be faithful to somebody after you've given your life a ransom for their sin. And if the enemy ever says that God's not going to be faithful, you just say, go look at his hands and feet. He's going to be faithful. He's going to be faithful. I love what Spurgeon says. Spurgeon says, the wounds of Jesus are powerful advocates in his interceding ministry. How could the Father not answer the Son when he has wounds in his hands and his feet? I close with this morning. The yellow light is on. When that fateful moment comes in my life, I'm a young man, but I don't know when it is. It could be imminent. When I finally draw my last breath and my heart ceases to beat, and I open my eyes before the throne of God Almighty. And I don't know if this is so or not, but let's imagine for just a moment that it is. I'm standing before the throne of God Almighty, and there the enemy has come to accuse me. And he says to the Father, you cannot let him in. Look at all he's done. Look at the mess that he made in his life. How in the world could you ever let somebody like him into your heaven? Just then, the Lord Jesus is going to speak up, and he's going to say, Father, behold my hands and my feet. And the Father's going to say, that's sufficient. Come on in, boy. You're here this morning, you've never been saved. The Bible says one day they'll look on him whom they have pierced and will mourn. They'll weep. The wounds of Jesus will either be the worst sight you'll ever see or the best. They'll either testify to your salvation or your condemnation. Just depends on how you respond. But the good news is you could be saved today. You say, how do you know, preacher? How do you know? He showed them his hands and his feet.